Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Severe Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and normally this would be the part where me, Alex, and Mark spout off some sort of witty, topical set of non sequiturs to intro this podcast, but unfortunately, if you've been paying attention to the music news in the past week or so, there is kind of a heavy topic to discuss, so we're just kind of jumping into that first before all the rest of everything, because it's kind of going to be weird to be like all jokey and then, okay, now time to get serious. So, as you all have likely heard by this point, in the past week, we have unfortunately learned about the passing of heavy metal icon, the literal inventor of the genre, Sir Ozzy Osbourne, at the age of 76. It was last Tuesday, literally like just a little over 2 weeks after Black Sabbath's big, you know, blast final show for the road together. Even after the news that, following the news that said concert film was eventually going to be, you know, screened in theaters next year, which, God, man, that's gonna be a bittersweet thing to go and watch.
Yeah, it has been a week for various reasons, for various reasons, and too many folks are dying. It sucks.
It's like they already died. We just get over the fact that Malcolm Jamal Warner passed away, which it's also fucked up. Then learning about, and then, well, death comes in threes, one, two, and then fucking Chuck Mangione passed away.
That sucked too. It's been rough.
That's just.
What gets me about this is that not just the obvious status, but this is hitting me in almost kind of the same way as when Akira Toriyama died, in the sense that I feel like you could dig into pretty much every cultural niche possible and find that they have some love and appreciation for the Ozman. Like, I was thinking about when I first heard Ozzy, and it occurred to me that most of my early formative memories of his music were mainly associated with video games. Like, I remember when I first played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the radio station that I always stuck to was Radio X, the one that had a lot of late 80s, 90s rock and metal tunes, like, you know, Living Color, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and then of course there was Ozzy's Hellraiser right there in the rotation all the time. Of course, all the Black Sabbath and Ozzy stuff in the Guitar Hero games. Fucking Brutal Legend. Hell, they fucking discounted that game for like 666 minutes after the news of his passing went away. Which, like, yeah, Ozzy, I think Lemmy was in that game too. Oh man, it's also gonna suck when Rob Halford dies, but yeah, so there's the video game stuff, of course. You know, Mark earlier was saying, like, he probably wasn't going to talk much, but, like, I'm sure, like, you, back in the day, heard that one Trick Daddy song all over the radio, just like the rest of us, right?
Yes. Yes, I have.
God, that takes me back to the days.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, since I brought up Toriyama, you know, the inarguable god king of shonen, I'm pretty sure a good handful of shonen manga authors also fucked with Ozzy, whether it was, Bastard Heavy Metal Dark Fantasy, or, of course, Araki having a stand named Black Sabbath in JoJo's. Mm. Like, you see what I mean, though, right? And then, of course, the whole reality TV industry pretty much, like, almost solidifying into the state it is now because of, like, the popularity of the Osbournes show, like, what was that, like, late 90s? Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2001 to 2003.
Oh, that's short, eh? I'll last longer.
So did I.
I can't really pinpoint my moment of discovery for Ozzy or Black Sabbath. I don't think my brain can go that far back in time, but it might have just been hearing songs on the radio or videos on TV or just piracy, because we all used LimeWire at one point and we just downloaded whatever the hell we wanted to off of there. I think I remember one of my friends in middle school, I asked him to burn me a CD of just songs, and he did, and I think Crazy Train was on one of those CDs, I think. I can't remember that far. I have weird things in my head. But, yeah, this one hurts. This one hurts. Like, I was coming home on Tuesday after doing grocery shopping for the house. And I get a little news pop up on my phone. And I read the headline. I was like, oh, no, 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 no. And I look, I read it, and there it is. I start scrolling through, you know, some of the news channels. I find it on Sky. I find it on BBC. They're doing, you know, breaking coverage of it. They're talking to people about it. MTV Classic, that, you know, the automated video channel that nobody cares about, they switched up their, you know, rotation for a little bit to play Ozzy and Black Sabbath videos. That was, you know, a nice touch. I turned on the Sirius XM Boneyard channel, you know, Ozzy's Boneyard, his channel. And as soon as I turn it on, I hear Jose Mangan on there. He's usually not on that channel, but they had to get someone in. And he's talking on the radio. He's talking to other musicians who are calling in. I hear him welling up, about to burst into tears at several points. And, yeah, just sitting on my couch, watching some of the videos playing. Yeah. Emotions were had.
Yeah, I was at...
Not a good day.
I was at work that day. I was just kind of, like, plugging away. Because, like, when I do my job, I'm kind of just, like, focused in, tuning everything out. But then, like, immediately I hear from the other booth, like, holy shit, did you hear about Ozzy? And I'm like... At that point, I almost go to flick through my phone, which probably kind of not something I'm technically supposed to do at work. But then I'm seeing, like, you know, the news, and it's just like, Jesus Christ. Like, immediately it was all over. Like, just seeing all the love and just the, you know, eulogies and stuff everywhere. Like, fuck, even Kermit the Frog was sad that Ozzy died.
Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah, it was not a good week in that regard. But it was at least a little bit heartwarming to see, like, the way the man and his influence has spread out to, like, just so many across, like, all genres and all walks of life and stuff. That makes him a true legend. Like, there's only ever going to be one Ozzy. Yep. Rest in peace, man. Hopefully your mama sees you when you come home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I suppose at this point I should probably ask if anything else has been happening in y'all's weeks so far.
Hulk Hogan died too. We have complicated feelings about that. We're just going to leave that at the door because various reasons.
Why I didn't mention him?
Yeah. I figured if we leave it out, it's too conspicuous. We'll just say, okay, that happened. We're moving on.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. Yeah, for me, it's just been a week of nothing. Like, I'm in the middle of a long stretch off of work because my brain is fucked, and I've just been enjoying the solitude of staying inside when it's 100 degrees outside for 5 days in a row. It's been hot!
God damn.
Yeah, it's been very hot. 100 degrees plus humidity equals heat index of like 109, which is not fun. So I've just been staying inside where my air conditioner is not dying. Hooray, we got that fixed. Didn't go out to see any big movies. I'll probably do that in the next couple weeks or so, when it cools down. I did watch, just because I wanted to prep myself for the disappointment of the sequel, the first Happy Gilmore. I haven't seen that movie in, like, 15-something years. It is most definitely all right. I did see a more recent movie, K-Pop Demon Hunter. I saw the whole thing, and it, too, is all right.
Fair enough.
Now, can we please knock that fucking TikTok kid from number one with something of substance? Something a bit more golden?
Fingers crossed.
It's close.
Come on, K-pop stans. We will forgive you of... We will absolve you of your sins if you do us this one solid.
We will let you take the top spot. You can knock down the one.
If there was ever a time for them to use their forces for good,
please do.
Although I will say, at least for the these are having fun. Thank God, Talos number one, as planned.
Yes, the revenge was a success.
Yes. Although I can't say the same for next week because, if we get the shot, like, don't get the number one.
We'll have to see how all that plays out. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see. It's hot, just usual, and thankfully, like, I forgot to say this last week, but we have a new AC, a new AC, which works very stellar, meaning, oh, hey, I can, oh, hey, it feels so cool and breezy, meaning, I don't put my fan out the fucking window like a maniac.
Oh, thank God for that.
It just sort of a nice cool breeze, and, not much happened. Me personal wise, except you like a doctor's visit. This would be a doctor's visit today. That's it. But that's just personal shit that I ain't gonna get into. And let's see. Haven't seen any movies. I haven't seen the new shit in a while. Just doing the normal anime shit. And that's it. Either listen to music, anime, VTubers, some other things, and then yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a whole thing.
Rest in piss, V Shoujo, you fucking cretins.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, her mission is sort of like, oh boy.
But that's for a different podcast. Anyway,
not mine.
Really? I'm surprised.
No, we're not going that far. We're not going that deep into those weeds. No. I'm putting my foot down. Once we go in, we never come out, so I'm just going to stop it right at the entry gates. Not happening.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, as for me, well, on my end, we finally managed to get some of the AC issues in the house. Well, some of them resolved, at least. Although, unfortunately, I think now the problem of the occasional water seeping through the floorboards is back. It's not super severe shit yet. It's just enough to be noticeable and annoying, though.
I had to deal with that recently. That sucks, but I have cheap linoleum, so I can fix it real easy.
Hopefully that shit don't warp the floor. Warp the floors, and then you wonder why the floor's so warped and shit, because I've been to head around my place, too, which is like, well, yeah, watch the step in case you don't want to watch the whole, yeah.
I
was like fucking really old, but yeah, you go on.
I'm not gonna mention anything further about what's happening with the floorboards. If you can see what I see, there's a few spots of concern, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, now with all that intro stuff out of the way, let's get into the usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, put some new tunes in your playlist, all of that fun jazz. So, let me see what we got first up on the checklist. Hey, look at that! It's Moldy James! We haven't heard from him in 0.27 nanoseconds.
Okay, yeah, what he said. But this time, he's not saying the old songs, like, he's teaming with another horse that I've been talking about, not a lot, but here and there. Jay Worthy, remember him?
Vaguely.
They had a Lucy out this week called Choosing Shoes. Yes, and okay, and I gotta say, It's kind of mellow. This piece sounds mellow. It's kind of nice. It's a very short song. It's a short song, like 2 minutes, 2 minutes and some change, which them, like, you know, basically, you know, them flogging about a bunch of shit, which I would go to Genius for the lyrics, but whoever did the lyric piece of this, what the fuck were y'all doing? Because either y'all didn't do it right, or somebody is slipping on the job. But again, all I gotta say is, like, the song is good. Jay did his thing. Boy did his thing as usual. The beat's nice, and it's all good.
Yep, cool. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So as we've learned a while back, Between the Buried and Me are set to drop their newest album, The Blue Nowhere, on September 12th. We have single number 2 here, Absence Thereafter, which is a 10.5-minute prog odyssey, and funnily enough, only one of 2 super over 10-plus-minute prog odysseys we have to discuss here. But let's focus on this one first, Absence Thereafter. So this one rips right out of the gate with that kind of signature 2000s metalcore energy of, like, the intermixing of tremolo guitars, intricate triplet grooves and noodling, lots of D-beats for good measure. Of course, to get a little bit weird with it, you hear these upbeat, like, horns kind of blaring through the mix, accentuating the measures and all. At some parts, you gotta slow it down to a halftime groove to kind of break up the tempo. Some more melodious sections, like at about 2 minutes 30 seconds in, which, you know, are exactly the kind of, melodious passages you'd expect from the band's morbality side. And then 2 minutes after that, we start to head right on over to the fucking hoedown and or hootenanny. I'm honestly still not entirely sure the difference between the two. But yeah, you get, like, double clicks and plenty of, like, yeehaws and slide guitars before those, before you get, like, more glitchy electronics and halftime guitar chugs. Then things get really, really proggy at about 7 minutes in, and that's about the part where, like, that's the most fun, like, milestone of the song for me, because that's, like, where all these, like, motifs and various sections just kind of start to, like, crash into each other and just, like, fork outwards into utter insanity. And even ending with a nice farewell message, kind of like a late-night talk show. I wonder if that's going to be a motif here. But anyway, yeah, this is hitting for me a lot more than that first single did. Exactly the kind of wild craziness I like from my BT Bam.
Okay, for the record, a hoedown is planned. A hootenanny is not. Oh. So just going forward, that's the difference. Anyway, yes, prog music can be a lot of things. It can be both a swelling anthemic reach to the crowd with a strong chorus, and also a bit of a backwoods North Carolina country and bluegrass jam, melded together with a honky-tonk piano lick and a heavy breakdown through a Blues Brothers boogie beat break. Say that 5 times fast, why don't you? Ugh. But it makes you wonder, what guitar would work best for this whole song? A PRS single cut with Fishman's, or a Fender Telecaster with a single coil? Maybe both, I don't know. So, yeah, this is a fun adventure of a track, and, yeah, not the only one we'll be talking about. In fact, this is not even the longest song we're talking about here.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, maybe that guitar question will be answered by the live tour for this album, but moving on to something relatively more sensible. Oh, hey, look, we got a track here courtesy of Wale. I'm not sure we've talked about him in a while. I actually legitimately don't remember. Yeah. I probably should have looked that up beforehand.
Yeah, I don't think we ever talked about him. Well, at least maybe single wise, but I don't know.
The last time we talked about him was when he was on a feature on a Rick Ross track back in June of 2019.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah, when Rico Nasty and Roddy Rich were on the XXL freshman class, and Gunna was there too, I guess.
Oh yeah, he exists.
Well, he exists. At least one of them end up being, you know, being good.
But let's keep our focus here currently for Wale, who is actually not alone on this track. No, no, no. He's got some help with him in the form of the one, the only, King Push.
Well, what do you know? One bullet left. One bullet left? Hey, laughing boy, this I know, I know! Levity.
Yes. Anyway, the epidemic is called damage control, and it's and apparently the features from somebody called Culture Jam. I'm not familiar with that shit.
Basketball player Anthony Edwards is apparently putting this all together.
Oh, so it's like a compilation album.
That's
what I'm getting. Okay. Alright, so anyway for this song, which is also very short, like it's also 2 minutes as well. Like I'll get this verse out the way first. Like his verse is fine, he got some good ones, like I just fuck up bands like Martin on Tommy Davis and John, which I know that reference. He watched Martin, because if you somebody watch Mexico, it's like me. And and like I say, his boss is fine, like his boss is all good. But I got a feeling you want to hear what Pusha T has to say.
Oh, we're always down for whatever Push has to say.
Yeah, here are these two choice words that I got based from Genius, which is all I hear is birds. All your birds do just words in the booth. The real is Birdman, I just cock-a-doodle-doo. Doorstep, doorstep, I get it right through. Money talk, but this is right, this is light blue. Sugar Hill Sweets, shit is feeling tight too. Bruce niggas, baby, Bruce Eagles, man, you niggas ought to sue. New Jack Nino's telling on the crew. Past in the future, nigga, what am I, the glue? The real nigga in to tell me, what am I to do? Yeah, you know who he's talking about, because we're just like, you know what? I kissed on those lads. The real Birdman, obviously Birdman for all the drama that they went through with them. And the one, and a line that I, and of course, Booze Egos, you niggas might sue. Well, that's for the, well, Drake suing UMG. And the rep, and the one is New Jack Nino's. Now, you're wondering, why bring that up? New Jack Nino's, New Jack City, the main character, Nino Brown. What did they call that group? Cash Money Brothers. What happened? Cash Money. Okay, Cash Money Records. Who won Cash Money Records? Birdman. What did they go to? Young Money. Who was in Young Money before? Who was in Young Money? Drake. There you go.
There's levels to this.
It doesn't stop. It's never going to stop. He's always got shots to fire. Like, I thought about this the other day. I think it's funny that, like, so Push's brother goes by the name, like, Malice or No Malice. I feel like Pusha should change his name to Extreme Amounts of Malice at All Times. You cannot comprehend how much malice this man holds at any one time.
Yes. This is a man who's been saved. Yeah, like Malice or No Malice, whatever you call him. He's been saved. He asked for the Lord, and he's still more vicious than even when he turns his life around.
Ah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's move on to the next track here. So, yeah, as you could probably guess from a while back, Mariah Carey's got a new album due out September 26th, titled Here for It All. Presumably, it's going to have that last single that we heard from her, and it's going to have this new one here that she just put out called Sugar Sweet. Features guest vocals by Kalani and a dancehall singer named Shensia, who broke through the mainstream after guesting on that fucking Kanye album. Donda.
What? Oh. Well, they can't all be winners.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. Damn. But as for the song itself, all I have to say is that it certainly sounds like one of the Mariah R&B jams of all time. I mean, the vocals sound nice, and the production is very much exactly the kind of very, you know, smooth and sensual sound that you expect from, you know, this particular side of her. I don't have much to add, especially as far as, like, where this fits in the grand scheme of things. Just, yeah, it's nice.
You could say that it sounds sweet.
Hey!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, which, yeah, it's like, it sounds all right. Like, okay, I know much about Shinsei. I can hear the dance line in her, which, like, okay, she sounds good. I know it's the first time hearing her, because the rest of us here, we didn't listen to that fucking album. But, yeah, it's a song, it's nice, it's sweet. You know, we're getting more music, more new music. You know what, it's good, it's nice. Hopefully, we will. Although I know in a couple of months we're gonna hear that sound again.
Mark, don't you start.
Brace ourselves for impact. But until then, this song is it's all right. It is all right.
It certainly is. Now, let's move on to the next track here. Holy fuck, has it really been 5 years since the last big Tame Impala record?
It has. I remember it. It came out in 2020.
I could have sworn he had one more in between that I just forgot about, but seriously, Jesus.
And
then Currents was like 2015. Jesus.
Yeah, it was like, is he doing this 5 year circle shit? This 5 year cycle shit? Okay, and of course, like, well, you know, when he's since the last time he's been doing, like, a lot of features from, you know, Thundercat and Justice, especially from Justice, and I know we have a new album coming out. I mean, apparently he's at a new label. Apparently he's on a new label with Columbia Records, and he has a new joint called In the Summer, which...
But that's not for another 2 months, I think. The end of summer is September 20th, right?
Right. Like, it's about that time, but... Yeah, I'm gonna say this for this song. It is not the Tame Impala that I usually would expect. Like, or at least something like... When you think of Tame Impala, you will either hear some psychedelic rock shit or some very synthy type of shit. This sounds a lot electronic, but not like, more like maybe in a house way.
Yeah, this is this is pretty much a dance track, like thumping fall on the floor kick, bouncy synthetic bass. You do hear a lot of Kevin Parker's, like, ethereal, you know, reverb-heavy vocals over top, but, yeah, this is pretty much, like, 7 minutes of a looping dance beat. It kind of sounds like somewhere between, like, Floating Points and early Amon Tobin. Except with Kevin Parker singing over top.
Yeah, like, half of this is like, okay, I don't know what you're trying to do. I mean, you're trying something new or something? For the past 7 minutes, nine for the music video, because, you know, there's a lot of shit that happens. There's apparently such a thing as in him going places and, I don't know, it's very, you know, art housey. Not really, but maybe, I don't know, art house is definitely.
Yeah, there's like a story there. A narrative in the video, as it were. But I guess we'll have to see if this leads to any full length later on in the year, or maybe even in 2026. Who knows?
Yeah, so maybe it might be 6 years this time.
Yeah, and speaking of 6 years, time for the last thing we have to talk about here. Yes, 6 years. You want to know what happened 6 years ago? I mean, besides from the fact that it was the last time I was genuinely, truly happy and optimistic about the future. Anyway, the punchline is that was the year we were introduced to Moron Police. Yeah, their album, you know, A Boat Out on the Sea. God, that was a great album. I should have re-listened to it at some time in the past week, because, like, I think, like, Alex and I both might have donated to, like, the Kickstarter for, like, the physical release.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that was good times. But, yeah, 6 fucking years. But, the important thing is, motherfuckers, we are back!
And in grand fashion, too.
Yes, by grand fashion, we mean the longest song we have to talk about here. We had 9 minutes for Tame Impala, we had 10.5 minutes for BT Bam, and this is 11.5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Possibly okay. Even yeah. Longer, because the song title here is Pachinko Part 1.
Yep.
So, since I carried on with all the BT Bam, Alex, you want to tell us what's going on with this one?
Yeah. There's a lot, so bear with me. So, the last time we heard from these guys was actually back in 2021 with the 4-track EP, The Stranger and the High Tide. It was a pretty solid dose of shorter Western Outlaw-styled rock tracks. But shortly after that, in January 2022, their drummer, Thor Peterson, died in a car accident, and that was all while they had been at work on their album follow-up. It's been 3.5 long years since then, but we finally have our first taste of new material from these guys, with the addition of Billy Reimer of the Dillinger Escape Plan, now on drums here. And here we have the title track, their new album, Pachinko, no date yet. And again, yeah, it's part one of it, at least, with Pachinko Part 1. A near 12-minute prog odyssey that goes hard in the paint of progressive rock with its explorative riffage and musical stylings. And it's all here, just in very elongated form. And for their status of, as it says on their Bandcamp page, weird band from Norway, it doesn't get much weirder than being about someone traveling in the pouring rain to San Francisco only for the devil to turn them into a penny dispenser in Tokyo. But hey, they're going to make the best of this sudden predicament, you know, for the usual half-life that a pachinko machine holds with how often they're all used. But back to the music, there are some wild twists here. That the opening section takes up about the first 4.5 minutes. It leads to a heavier break to lead into... I said that twice, got verbal tick, to go into a bit of a Latin groove for a few bars in the middle, to segue into a piano and drum build, to a wild dual guitar shred showcase, and what I can only assume is an intentional lyrical callback. I never wanted to be a simple boat on the sea. I always knew that there was fire floating around, and if this is what I must be, the biggest fish in the sea, I need a little power written down on me. All to lead to this bar. Wouldn't you think about what constitutes a god? Is it believers on their knees or something more? What if humanity could make itself divine? Something that lives and breathes like them, but never has to die. Which could just be a weird, wild One Piece thing, given that they like One Piece. But by then, at the 9-minute mark, we get our clean chorus to lead us into the final stretch of the track. And it caps off an absolutely anthemic track from these guys that hits on all levels, end to end. And we don't have any release date set for the album. It's probably a little bit of time away, but if it comes out this year, immediate number one contender for me. Like, this is a picture perfect example of my shit, my kind of music here, from start to end, even if it is nearly 12 minutes long. But it's 12 minutes worth listening to.
Yes it is. The only other thing I have to add is that there's all kinds of flavors of prog out there. You have the really, really heavy, like, intense shit. The really bright and melodious shit. But moron police represents a third option that you rarely ever hear these days. The kind of prog that just leaves a big stupid smile on your face by the end of the track. And that's what this song is. You just hear everything from, like, the Primus-style bass licks to the Haken-esque synthesizers, that weird, brief, medieval times melodic sting, just all the frantic drumming and intricate sweeps. It's just... It just feels good to be back. But, yeah, that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a little bit of news here, so, stay tuned. And we're back. So we have two news topics to discuss. The first takes us to one of the big over the weekend events that happened. That, of course, being the yearly San Diego Comic-Con, where all kinds of stuff happens. So you had stuff like, you know, panels for shows like Family Guy, Robot Chicken, all the Adult Swim stuff going on. They previewed the newest episode of The Amazing Digital Circus. I'm very scared because Kane has a loaded gun now. Who let the silly teeth man have firearms? And then, of course, the most important bit of news that came out of that weekend, at least in my opinion, Glep is getting his own dedicated episode in season 3 of Smiling Friends. Hell yeah!
Hooray! I'm telling you guys.
Hey!
The silly little guy is getting his own episode. Nothing else that happened that weekend is going to be more important than that revelation. Anyway, let's talk about the Helliverse for a second. So, if you've been on the internets in recent years, you're probably familiar with that little, universe, currently consisting of a duology of shows, Hell of a Boss and the recent Has-Been Hotel, which have seen a lot of, fandom activity on the internets and have swelled quite a bit in popularity and clout to the point where they've received a lot of big announcements in the past year or so. Most notably, Hell of a Boss is making the jump from YouTube to Amazon Prime, with the show making its transition in September. And also, we finally received confirmation that Has-Been Hotel Season 2 will be premiering on October 29th, which for me at least means it's probably going to have to slide to second place in my priorities, because unfortunately that is the same day that Chainsaw Man movie Reze Arc comes out in the States. And with all due respect to the Helliverse fans, of which I am one as well, the Helliverse doesn't have Sharknadoes and Bomb Girl. I'm sorry. Some things are just a bit more important to me. That being said, amongst all those announcements was also some casting news for the second season of Has-Been. Most relevant to our discussions in this neck of the woods is actually, at least interestingly enough, confirmation of a fan theory that's kind of been floating around the internet since at least Christmas. Because, for context, over the holidays last year, an image was posted to the official social media accounts for the series, which included the revelation of a brand new character that had yet to be glimpsed in the series, that being Abel, the son of Adam. And ever since then, there's been lots of fan casts and rumors about who was going to be voicing this character, and it's now been officially revealed that said rumors were correct, and the voice of Abel in Season 2 will be Patrick Stump of Fallout Boy fame. A man who, funnily enough, is not that much of a stranger to cartoon voice acting. After all, there was that one episode of Teen Titans Go where all the members of Fall Out Boy voiced themselves, and Stump apparently appeared as a character named Rubariot, I think. I'm actually not sure how the name is pronounced, but he had a role in Star vs. the Forces of Evil, a show that I am told is pretty alright, all things considered. Maybe someday I'll get around to it. So, yeah, we had the, casting news, a little teaser video just kind of showing a Stump in the voice recording booth. And the main thing to take away, at least characterization-wise, is that Abel seems like he's a pretty chill dude. You know, like a nice guy, pretty friendly, everybody loves him, he's fun to be around. Are we sure he's Adam's kid? Because, like, I watched the first season of that show, and hearing some of the voice lines and descriptions of his personality, I'm just like, are we sure that this man, who I'm pretty sure qualifies as the textbook definition of a cinnamon roll, is the son of the same character who unironically asked to be referred to as, and I quote, Dickmaster? I'm just saying, like, there's a clear disconnect. I don't know how you be a parent like that and you have a kid raised that's actually, like, a decent person. Unless someone else is doing the parenting. Honestly, that's kind of, like, low-key, like, my personal fan theory. Like, I think he's probably actually Lucifer's kid. I mean, he did fuck both of Adam's ex-wives. But, yeah, that's basically about all I have to add.
I would say good thing. I mean, I would say good thing that, well, I could be watching it anytime since I have Prime. Because you know, they're back in the anime shit again.
Oh yeah, they have City the Animation's on there.
Yeah, which is good. Also, the new Penny Stuck It, which is also good. Even the new dub cast, just saying, it's all good. And, yeah.
I would chime in on this whole thing, but I have zero context for either show, so I'm happy y'all are happy. That's all I gotta say.
Alright, so we'll just see how more of that, bears out sometime soon. I imagine, like, just one last bit of speculation, whatever musical numbers they give them are probably going to sound like, you know, current era Fall Out Boy stuff, which might be the low light of the season, but who knows? I could be wrong. So now let's move on to the other topic here. This is the latest iteration in one of our favorite ongoing topics in the grand saga of this whole podcast existence. Say it with me, people. Hashtag Daniel Ek is a chode. Yes, once again, the CEO of Spotify is showing his whole ass to the entire world, and boy fucking howdy. So, if you're wondering what's been going on, well, aside from all the other screwing over of artists in a myriad of ways, apparently, Mr. Ek and Spotify have decided to invest money into, well, AI shit. And I'm not just talking about the prevalence of AI artists and bots on the streaming service. Specifically, Mr. Ek has an investment fund called Prima Materia, which is involved with a software / defense company called Helsing. Wait, Materia? Helsing?
What the fuck?
Oh,
wait,
my God.
It's so stupid.
Anyway, this is a military, like, software defense company that is using AI to make their decisions for them. Good luck. So, yeah, good luck with that fucking shit, letting the fucking autocorrect but worse make all your decisions. And the total investments since at least 2021 are about, like, just shy of $700 million. And, of course, this has pissed off a whole lot of people to the point where a small handful of artists have begun pulling their music from Spotify in its entirety. First, there was the Noise Act Shushu earlier, then there was the band Deerhoof, and now King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard have pulled all of their music from the platform, which is saying a lot, because I'm pretty sure that's like 50% of everything ever uploaded to Spotify. The joke is, King Gizzard has a lot of albums.
They do. To add to this, they recently put up a collection of demos on their Bandcamp that you can listen to and buy if you like. And they also have an album, which I was very late to finding this out. Their album, Polygondwanaland. I hope I said that right.
Yeah,
it is open source.
Yeah, I think that was like one of the five albums they came out with in whatever that one year was that they had like five albums. They were all like, hey, this shit's free, do whatever the hell you want with it, all that kind of stuff, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. And to everybody who threatened to leave Spotify after the whole Joe Rogan shit when he was getting a whole lot of money for his bullshit, you all have a much more valid reason to leave now! Do it!
Yeah.
The best time to leave Spotify was back then. The second best time is now. As King Gizzard themselves adequately put it, "Hello friends, a PSA to those unaware. Spotify CEO Daniel Ek invests in millions in AI military drone technology. We just removed our music from the platform. Can we put pressure on these Dr. Evil tech bros to do better? Join us on another platform." Ooh, they whipped out that fucking Austin Powers roast. Goddamn. He really honestly, now that I think about it, fucking Ek really does look like Dr. Evil, except not a parody. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so obviously we're just keeping an eye out on where all of this is going. Although, as of note, there unfortunately is, like, one thing with King Gizzard's name still up on Spotify. Looking at the article, it's a collaborative EP they did with the band Tropical Fuckstorm, who finally announced a new album out recently. Pretty interesting. But yeah, unfortunately, that's just kind of like, they're still working out the details with the label that released that record, but hopefully they'll be able to, you know, follow suit and get that dropped from Spotify as well. Just full scorched earth. No King Gizzard, no Lizard Wizards, no Bizzard Dizzard. You know what I mean.
Yeah, like if you want your fix, go to literally any other platform. Go to Apple Music, go to Tidal, go to YouTube Music, go to Bandcamp, go to fucking Napster. It still exists as a legit service. Yes, I am serious.
It's really sad when Apple Music winds up being the lesser evil here. That just messes with my understanding of reality. I thought it would be the other way around. Jesus Christ. But yeah, there are many options to get your music fix, Lizard Wizard or otherwise.
Yeah, you have many options. Be like us and kick Spotify out of your lives.
Yeah, like get your music elsewhere. Get it through other platforms or, you know, buy a CD or an album on vinyl or a cassette tape or fuck it, pirate. Nobody cares. Spotify is basically like piracy anyway. Nobody makes money off of that platform anyway. Except, of course, the head chode in charge. So, hey, stick it to the man. Pirate your shit as long as they say it's okay to do so, which I'm pretty sure some people would say, you know what, go ahead.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when Infinity Train disappeared off Max and Hulu and stuff. And Owen Dennis is all like,
"Keep circulating the tapes.
Never forget, kids." Anyway, I suppose we should move on at this point. So, yeah, that about takes care of the news. We'll have one last thing to discuss here, and that is the new album releases to kick off the month of August. August 1st, 2025. Not really a whole lot, so just keep the following three in mind if they tickle your fancy. So, first off, there's a new album from the avant-garde band Kyo Dot with Every Rock, Every Half-Truth Under Reason. Then there's a new project from Suicide Boys with Thy Kingdom Come. And finally, the newest record from The Armed with The Future Is Here and Everything Needs to Be Destroyed. Now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, the Discord, other Discords, my other show, some platforms like Poppin' On, you know.
We do know.
Okay.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, the Sky of Blue, where, I don't know, I say shit, and my site, my Hype1.com. WordPress.com, where, of course, still doing my story series, Welcome to Zona Mirta, which is six episodes deep, so yeah.
Cool. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@swearresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and no other places. That's important. You gotta commit to this. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to check you know, the site out on Blue Sky. Follow us at Super Resolution. Like us. Visit the website, SuperResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast M&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into the Discord server for the site. You'll find the link, you know, there, so you can chat it up about all kinds of things and always be immediately notified whenever new things go up there. That'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business and, of course, the monthly album roundup for June and July. It takes those 2 months for one roundup. It was kind of a weirdly uneventful couple months, save for a few pockets, but we'll cross that bridge in due time. So, yeah, thank you for listening, and until next time, oh, banana!